Let's go ahead and get started with the fourth session. Before I do, I want to bring to people's attention something that has again happened that we never anticipated, we never understood, that it would be such a miraculous, divinely inspired piece of Back to Basics. But Back to Basics is being carried into prisons all over this country, and people are getting it behind the walls. And we now have had the opportunity to see enough people get it within the federal and state and local penal institutions to realize that there is something divinely inspired about taking people through the steps the way it was done in the 40s. Because I've had many a convict come up to me and say, we don't write the fourth step. It can be used against us in a court of law. And in Back to Basics, you don't have to write a fourth step. And the other thing they said is in prison, there's nobody above us. Every prisoner is equal. There's no such thing as a sponsor. There cannot be in the prison anybody above anybody else. It's just the way it is. And with Back to Basics, you have sharing partners, and everybody's on an equal level. And that's something for the people that are thinking of carrying this message into the prisons. We've had a great deal of success as a result of having a verbal fourth step, or just check marks on a piece of paper. That's been accepted by many of the inmates, because again, there's no incriminating evidence there, and also not having sponsors but sharing partners as they take each other through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, session number 4.
Hi, my name is John. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hey, John, filling in.
This is our fourth journey back to the fall of 1946 and the AA beginners meetings. During this session, we will spend much of our time sharing the results of our two-way communication with the God of our understanding. We will experience the life-changing spiritual awakening that occurs as we move from a life run on self-will to a life guided by the vision of God's will. We have demystified the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and shown you just how simple this program truly is. For those of you who will be completing your steps tonight, we congratulate you for your fine efforts, and we welcome you to the sunlight of the Spirit. Please remember that in order to remain spiritually fit, we must be of service to other alcoholics. We can think of no greater service than helping others through the 12 steps so that they too can find the spiritual solution to alcoholism. It is essential that we never forget that recovery is an ongoing process. We don't just take the steps once and then rest on our laurels. Remember, alcohol is a subtle foe. We must repeat the process again and again in order to remain in a fit spiritual condition. So please, come back for the next series of beginners meetings. We are sure you will gain additional insight into the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and continue to enhance your relationship with the one who has all power.
Welcome to the fourth of the one-hour AA beginners meetings. This is the payoff. This is what we have been waiting for, to recover from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body known as alcoholism. By completing the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you will experience a spiritual awakening that will change your life forever. Our names are Wally and Steve and John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John, for filling in. And we are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is a pleasure to be part of this life-changing process, to watch people grow spiritually right before our very eyes. Let's see who's ready to be rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence that the Big Book authors write about. Will all the newcomers who have completed steps 1 through 8 and are working on the 9th step of amends please stand? Who has completed the work so far?
All right.
Okay, let's give them a hand. Okay, look at this. Do we still have 40? Are we still close to 40?
Look at the smiles.
All right, yeah, look at the smiles. God. Woo. Congratulations, you are the ones who are in the process of experiencing the personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. We are so happy, and I can't tell you how happy we really are, because we've done this enough times to witness enough miracles to tell you that it's true beyond even our wildest expectations that we're so happy that you've chosen to live when so many alcoholics would rather die than accept the spiritual solution to alcoholism. And that's a sad state of affairs. Because die they will, and we see it happen all the time. But you have chosen to let God direct your lives. Let's see what we need to do in order to maintain and expand this new God consciousness. Basically, we need to live the 10th, 11th, and 12th steps on a daily basis. Let's start with step 10.
Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. In steps 1 through 3, we made the decisions that put us on the spiritual path. In steps 4 through 9, we took the actions necessary to remove those things which had separated us from God. Now we're ready to grow into the promised spiritual awakening. Step 10 is a summary of steps 4 through 9. Step 11 shows us how to establish and maintain conscious contact with God of our understanding. Step 12 tells us how to carry our life-changing message to others. The key to step 10 are the words, continued to take personal inventory. In the middle of page 84, the Big Book authors emphasize the importance of continuing to take the steps. This brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. In this paragraph, the authors tell us how to live one day at a time. We call this our 24-hour plan. We continue to take inventory, continue to make amends, and continue to help others every day. Let's look in the third sentence in this paragraph again. It is very important. It reads, "We have entered the world of the Spirit." This sentence contains an amazing revelation. Basically, the Big Book authors have just informed us that our lives have already changed as a result of taking steps 1 through 9. They state that we have already had a spiritual awakening. How could that be? Well, it's very simple. There's no way a newcomer can get through these steps alone. You have not only developed a belief in God of your understanding, but you have come to rely upon this power to help you through the inventory and restitution process. You are now living in the solution. Some of you may not realize it yet, but the psychic change has already occurred.
And I just want to make sure that everybody knows where Steve was. Prior to this meeting, he was doing a fourth and fifth step, which again, we've seen this happen before, where one of us ends up being delayed as a result of working with the newcomers. And again, it's principles rather than personalities. And thanks, John, for filling in. Yeah, it's nice to have you back, partner.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Further down on page 84, the authors tell us precisely how to take a 10-step inventory. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. In this paragraph, they describe the AA test for self-will a second time. Last week, we discussed the test as described within the fourth step. Selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and frightened. Within the 10th step, the authors present the same test with only minor variations. Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. The authors even provide us with specific instructions on how to rid ourselves of these self-centered behaviors. First, we must realize they are not consistent with God's plan for our lives. Next, we must take the actions necessary to move from self-will to God's will. We ask God to remove these shortcomings. We discuss them with our sponsor or spiritual advisor, and if necessary, we make restitution. Then we try to help someone else. The Big Book authors affirm that if we apply the AA test for self-will on a daily basis, God will remove the obsession to drink. Boy, that is a revelation. This is another of the many promises we find throughout the text of the book. More than a promise, it's a guarantee. At the bottom of page 84, they write, "And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition." I find that this is absolutely amazing, and it's the crux of the big book in terms of the miracle and the way it was written and laid out. Here we come into the fourth session thinking, wow, sometime I'm going to have this spiritual experience. To come here and find out that it's already happened is such a revelation to so many of us. And the second thing is that it's the reason that we get through steps 4 and 5 so quickly. When we're in steps 4 and 5, we're still living in the problem. When we get to 10, 11, and 12, we're living in the solution. We have the rest of our lives to clean up the rest of the wreckage. But now we're cleaning it up with God at our side as we walk hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. It's so much easier to deal with all of these resentments and fears and harms done to others that will continue to come up from time to time or as they are revealed to us, when we're looking at it from the solution rather than from the problem. So how do we keep in fit spiritual condition? By taking a daily inventory. What is our reward? A daily reprieve.
The big book authors describe this daily reprieve in the middle of page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Each day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Another reward is God consciousness, direct contact with the Spirit of the universe. In the next paragraph on page 85, the big book authors tell us, "Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action." Once again, the authors declare that our lives have changed. We've already had the spiritual awakening. They say we have become conscious of the Spirit of the universe, and we are now receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from this Spirit. Now it's time to find out who is ready to proceed. The directions for taking the 10th step are found in the second paragraph on page 84. Starting with line 2, the big book authors write, "We continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Will the newcomers who have completed the first 8 steps and are working on their 9th step amends please stand?" This is the 10th step question. Will you continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as you go along? As we go through the room, please answer one at a time, yes or no, and then please be seated as you answer.
Yes.
Yes.
And in the back of the room?
Yes.
And how about way out in the cheap seats?
All right. I think there's more.
Give everybody a hand. Step 10, Don. Woo!
It seems like more people are completed. Okay.
Well, it's part of the miracle. We have over 100% recovery in this program.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, it seems like more people are standing. Well, okay.
Let's move on to the 11th step. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. This is the step we prepared for last week. We will examine it in more detail, and then we are going to look at the guidance we have received during the past week. The 11th step starts at the bottom of page 85 and extends through page 88. But as we have already seen, the big book authors have been writing about prayer and meditation throughout the book. At the bottom of page 85, we find, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. And what do the authors mean when they say it works? In essence, they're telling us that prayer and meditation puts us in contact with our Creator. Hopefully, that's what we've been doing this past week, making conscious contact with the God of our understanding. Then at the top of page 86, they make the statement, it would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. And these are the valuable suggestions.
At night, they suggest we review the day's activities. Once again, they ask us to use the AA test for self-will to judge our actions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? This paragraph contains the third reference to the AA test for self-will. The big book authors once again have made minor changes to the test they presented to us in the fourth and tenth steps. Nevertheless, it is still the opposite of the Oxford Group test for God's will. This is the same test we will use during our morning meditation.
Upon awakening, we are asked to practice the equivalent of the Oxford Group technique of quiet time and guidance. Much of the material in this section of the Big Book came directly from their textbook titled, What is the Oxford Group? This book was written anonymously in 1933, 6 years before our Big Book. Since Bill W., Dr. Bob, and most of the Big Book authors were members of the Oxford Group, we're going to reference the same material they used to write the 11th step. Hopefully this information will make it easier for you to establish a conscious contact with the God of your understanding. In What is the Oxford Group? There is an entire chapter devoted to guidance. Oxford Group members conduct a morning meditation every day. And this is how they do it. A quiet time with the Holy Spirit every morning before the daily toil and common round of the day commences will put us in the right key for the day. These early morning quiet times in which God impresses on our minds His counsel become living spots in the routine of ordinary life. Well, what does the Big Book tell us? Precisely the same thing. On the middle of page 86, we find, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. So both books tell us to meditate first thing in the morning. Let's look at the sentence beginning with, before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking. Please concentrate on these words for a minute. They are very important. Before we begin what? before we begin listening to God. How do we know that we're supposed to listen to God? Because right afterward, it says that we ask God to direct our thinking. If we ask God to direct our thinking, doesn't it stand to reason that our next thoughts are going to be from God? And what do we call these thoughts from God? We call these thoughts guidance.
The Oxford Group tells us what to do when we receive these thoughts. We write them down. Although this action is not specifically mentioned in the Big Book, it is an essential part of the meditation process. This is what the Oxford Group book says. The Oxford Group advocates our use of a pencil and notebook so that we may record every God-given thought and idea that comes to us during our time alone with Him, that no detail, however small, may be lost to us, and that we may not shirk the truth about ourselves or any problem when it comes to us. As does the Oxford Group, the Big Book authors tell us to test our thoughts. Not all of them come from God, but with time and practice, we begin to rely upon these thoughts. On the top of page 87, they write, "What used to be the hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for the presumption, this presumption, in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. To protect ourselves from absurd actions and ideas, the Big Book authors tell us we need to test our thoughts. In December 1934, Bill W., our New York City co-founder, was instructed to test his thoughts and actions using the principles of the Oxford Group. In the fourth paragraph on page 13 of his story, Bill exclaims, "I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense." The authors explain to us on page 69 that we need to test our thoughts and actions to separate self-will from God's will. Starting with line 2 in the second paragraph, they write, "We've subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We ask God to mold our ideals and help us live to them. Help us to live up to them." We test. What test do the Big Book authors recommend? They ask us to check for selfishness, which is one of the components of the AA test for self-will. So whether you use the Oxford Group's test for God's will, which is honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love, or the AA's test for self-will, which is selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, you need to analyze what you have written during your morning meditation. Here's how it works.
When you finish your morning meditation or quiet time, check what you have written. If what you have put on paper is honest, pure, unselfish, and loving, you can be assured those thoughts have come from God. Conversely, if what you have written is selfish, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, you can be equally assured those thoughts have come from self. The authors insist that our Creator will provide us with the answers to all of our questions. They even disclose how the Spirit of the universe is going to answer our request for help. At the bottom of page 86, they write, "In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while." So God is going to tell us His plan for our lives in the form of inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. In other words, our thoughts, when they are in the form of inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision, for the most part, those are from God, as long as we subject them to the test. If God is going to provide us with directions on how to live, don't you think it's a good idea to write them down so that we don't forget the directions that He's provided for us? I think that's where it's absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. I can't remember 5 minutes after my prayer meditation what came to me. How am I supposed to follow guidance if I can't remember it? That's why I find it absolutely essential to write it down. Starting with the last line on page 87, the Big Book authors tell us that we must get out of self-will in order to learn God's plan for our lives. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly asking to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. This is an ironclad guarantee. It works. From first-hand experience, we can state that guidance has been working in our lives ever since we became a daily quiet time.
But what if we don't receive any God-given thoughts or guidance? Let us assure you this can happen at any time. Remember, all we really have is a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. If we don't receive any guidance, it means we have work to do. Maybe we've taken back our will in some area of our lives, or maybe we haven't made a necessary amends. In this case, if this is the case, we need to take the actions necessary to reestablish our connection with our Creator. In the second paragraph on page 88, they tell us that, once again, we need God's help. We alcoholics are undisciplined. No kidding.
No kidding.
So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. Prayer and meditation take dedication and practice. If we do the work, we will receive the rewards, a life filled with health, happiness, and serenity beyond our wildest dreams. We will conclude our discussion of the 11th step with a moment of silence so each of us can make contact with the Spirit of the universe and receive divine guidance right now.
Moment of silence.
Thank you. Last week, we asked you to meditate during the week and write down the guidance you received. We realize this is a very personal matter and that your guidance is normally shared with only one other individual who is in the two-way communication with God. But we are asking you to share what you have written with the group in order to demonstrate to those who may still be skeptical that God really does disclose himself to us. Who's willing to share what they have written?
Okay, who would like to be the first? Michael?
That's a volunteer.
That's a volunteer. Didn't even get his hand up.
Hi, everybody. I'm Michael. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Michael.
And I'd like to say that I'm sober today by the grace of God and the people and the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. Wow. This has been an incredible day for me. Let me share with you first, if I may, what my guidance was this morning, and then I'd like to share with you a little bit about what it was like working and sharing my guidance and guidance with James this afternoon and what that was like. It was an incredibly moving and spiritual experience. This morning, my guidance was to listen today, to be open and to hear what is, to love unconditionally, to write my guidance on a daily basis, to live, and to make a difference. When I asked James if he would share with me and if I could work with him as a sponsor, he came up to me afterwards and he said, "We do it a little differently than Bill Wilson did it." And then we did it more like the Oxford group, and he explained to me it's a conversation between the two of us, and we share what it was like for us and what's going on in our lives, and we use as a guide the four standards of the Oxford Group, and that's just the way we did it. I don't know exactly where to begin, so let me say first that we talked for about 45 minutes, and it felt like a minute and a half. It was extremely intense for me, but Jim looked very relaxed. I think
maybe he's done it before.
I was just going to say, I think that he probably had done it before. It was really emotional and spiritual experience for me. I tried to make some notes. I was instructed, and there was some instruction based on what I had shared. And one of the instructions was to be myself. Wally has told you that I have a radio program. I'm part of the Recovery Television Network. And the Recovery Network is on television, and it's available free if you want to call your cable company. But I do the radio part. And I speak to about a little over a million people every week. And one of the things I shared was how fearful I was, how scary it is, because I don't know what to say all the time. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And James reminded me to just be myself and to share my guidance and just to... If I told stories about myself and what was going on for me, it couldn't be wrong because it was true, what was going on for me. So I really heard that. One of the other things that we shared and we talked about, which really moved me a great deal, was that lots and lots of us in many different guises through many different religions accept God, and many ministers have talked about this, and I'm probably not saying this exactly right, Jim, but we seem to stop there, and the guidance I got was to pass it on, to take it to the next step, and that there must be a reason why I'm in a position to talk to so many people, because I'm not a professional disc jockey or any of those kinds of things, you know. I teach school, you know, so I feel very, I feel chosen to do what it is that I am supposed to do, and believe me, the thing that I'm bound to do from now on is to find out what it is I'm supposed to say every day. Since I came into the program, and I'm coming up on 10 years next month, I had a personal relationship, as we say, with my higher power, whom I choose to call God. It's nice to call him God and not feel funny about it. And I never had that before. So I know that now I've been given the other piece for me, the writing down the guidance so I can pass it on. Because Wally's right, I forget. When I have spoken to God and I have quieted myself to listen, it's been the right thing to say and the right thing to do. But I wasn't writing it down, and I know I was forgetting a lot. So when I was with Wally and Ellie in Tucson, and we discussed the fact that he would be coming here to the Wilson House this weekend, I made sure that Dean knew that my wife and I were coming. One of the other things that James suggested was that I share my guidance with my wife. And I mentioned that my wife was way ahead of me. Every morning, she hits her knees. She talks to God. She pops up and she said, "And God said to me today that I should rest or this or that," or whatever her guidance was. And I'd go in the other room and I'd talk to God, and then I'd take a shower and go to work. I wasn't sharing it, and I wasn't writing it down. And Joni writes it down, too, by the way. So it was right there, and I didn't see it. I had to come to East Dorset to get it, and that's okay. That was the plan. I guess the last thing I want to share was the miracle that happened when I was with James. And the miracle was, whoops, for me, that we prayed together to God. I've never done that before. And it was the most spiritual moment I can ever recall in my 55 years, where it was that intimate that I know we had a direct line and that we were heard. And it was just a way of thanking God and asking for God's guidance. And it's something I certainly will never forget. And Wally, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this weekend. And thank all of you for being here and sharing it with me. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Whoa, look who's next.
Thank you. All right.
I want to say a word that...
A word?
Mike, oh yeah, just a word. Mike said that he was tense and I've seen him relaxed. I want to tell you why that was, you see. For 45 minutes, Mike told me all of the things that were bothering him and all the things that were troubling him. And then I asked the life-changing question. I said, well, Mike, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, my God! Oh. Well, James is not normally a man of few words, but that was clear and succinct as it gets. I do want to share with you that as I sat down for lunch and Pamela moved over so that I could sit in this very seat where I could witness the miracle in the other room, and I could feel the presence of God just watching these people go through the process. And Michael was right. It was suspended animation because I was suspended in it just watching these two. Couldn't hear a word. But talk about the language of the heart. It truly is a life-changing experience. The room lit up. Absolutely. Pamela, would you like to share?
No, I'm going to go right.
Okay. Who did the guidance that wants to share? Yes, Julia.
All right. Yes.
Yes, Julia.
All right.
Wow. I'm Julia. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Julia.
That height is a little better. I have not shared this with anyone yet, so I have not reviewed what's actual and what isn't. So I'll just share what's here. This is the first time I've done written guidance also. Don't drink. Why are there no thoughts? Do I have a blockage? Am I doing something wrong in my program? Be patient. God is in my heart. Meditate on God in my heart. Live one day at a time. Go back to meditating on God in my heart. Rooster is crowing. God is love. I am loved. I don't need to fear God's plan for my life. Cars on highway noise. Should I be closing my eyes? Seems like a struggle. When I meditate, I close my eyes. And so as I was doing this, I was closing my eyes to do the meditating and then opening to write them down. What I'd really like to learn how to do is to write without looking, is what I'd eventually like to learn how to do. So I'm doing this back and forth stuff, and that's not very conducive to meditating.
You get a big piece of paper.
Okay. Is this all? I always envisioned before a pipeline coming into the top of my head. It's difficult to switch to being present in my heart. this was very significant for me because what I'm talking about here is how I communicate with God. And what happened to me in my meditation this morning is I realized that this was the part where I realized that I had always been talking to God like God was out there. And I started to realize that God was inside me and that I could talk to God in my heart as well as a pipeline to outside. Breathe deeply, feel abdomen and breath going in. How self-centered these thoughts are. There's a sex thought. Well, you said to be honest. turn over tablet. No, tear out paper and turn it over. Evaluate thoughts. Judge. Will Wally think this is good material? Are we going to get this honest? God is in me. God is in me. Look at what Philip is doing. My husband was starting to do his guidance next to me. God is in my heart. What will Wally think? God is in my heart. There's no people pleaser in
no,
me.
No,
no. My eighth year of sobriety is tough. This is what I needed to not drink. I never would have guessed it. Look at Phil twice. Thank you, God, three times. In my heart, not out there. I have been wondering about my heart. Remembered, started this by asking what is God's plan for my life, but didn't write that down. Wally will like this. Remember the God who you pray to will make it easy to work out your own salvation. That is a quote, actually, from one of the books that's up here, The Guide to the 12 Steps, which we use in our Tuesday night home group, step group. We've been using this for a couple of years. Yeah. Personal God, several times. Wally will like this. Feel heart strongly. God is in me. Quietness, peace. Peace I haven't known since 12. I was broken inside at 12 and knew I was beyond human power. I wanted the healing that is here. I still don't know if I am an alcoholic. God is in me, where, everywhere, I'm human. I need a definite place to picture him being. I do time and space as part of being human. Wally will like this. I'm honest. Breathe deeply, feel abdomen, rooster crowing, upstairs floor creaking. Be still and know that I am God. Big truck on road, left leg going to sleep, maybe I'm finished.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
All
right.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I have to say something here. Listen, if God tells you to do something, do it, whether Wally likes it or not.
Yes,
so,
thank you.
And the other thing you said was, how did you learn how to get guidance with your eyes open? It reminds me of a fellow who was coming down the street with a violin under his arm, and he stopped a guy, and he said, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? And his fellow said, practice, man, practice. practice.
And practice it is. We do have to move on to finish, but we want everybody to have the opportunity to share guidance tomorrow morning. And I can't thank you enough for being this honest to bring your thoughts to us, to share with us. And James is right. It's God is happy with those thoughts. That's the important thing. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Now that we've made conscious contact with the God of our understanding, we have received the greatest gift of this program, a spiritual awakening. God is now guiding us in such a way that it is indeed miraculous. This life-changing experience comes suddenly to some, gradually to others.
Let's see what else we can learn from this miraculous event. Please turn once again to Appendix 2 on page 569. This appendix was written after the publication of the first printing of the Big Book in 1939. In the first printing, the 12th step read, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps. In the 2 years between the first and second printings, the word experience was discussed at length. Eventually, the word experience was replaced with the word awakening. The Big Book authors made this modification in order to include those whose lives had changed, but more slowly over a period of time. Many of you will find this to be the case also. Your life has changed, but gradually rather than suddenly. Maybe from this morning to this afternoon rather than just this afternoon. Gradually. You may not be able to point to a specific experience that brought about the change, but the spiritual awakening has occurred nonetheless. At the top of page 569, the authors define the term spiritual awakening. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. A spiritual awakening is nothing more than a psychic change that, among other things, eliminates our obsession to drink.
So Bill W.'s rapid conversion experience at Towns Hospital is the exception rather than the rule. Further down on page 569, we find the description of a more gradual spiritual experience. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James called the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought on by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. As we read the next lines of page 570, we learn just how easy it is to have a spiritual awakening. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. That's all there is to it. If you've made contact with God of your understanding, and you've already started listening to guidance, you have, in fact, already had the spiritual awakening. Congratulations, you are now living in the sunlight of the Spirit.
But the spiritual awakening is just the first part of the 12th step. Let's look at what we have to do to sustain the spiritual transformation. Chapter 7 in its entirety is devoted to carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to others. At the bottom of page 89, the Big Book authors tell us what we must do to enlarge our new God consciousness. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry the message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. When we work with others, our lives change. We become life changers. In the second paragraph on page 89, the authors state, life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other are the bright spot of our lives.
On pages 89 through 103, the authors provide us with specific instructions on how to carry our life-saving message of recovery to others. They offer many valuable suggestions on these pages. For now, we are only going to cover a few of them. At the top of page 90, they start with the following advice. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. In the middle of page 91, the Big Book authors even provide us with more specific on what to say. First, we tell the prospect our story. See your man alone, if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. See how easy it is? For the next several pages, we are provided additional suggestions on what to say and not to say, what to do and not to do during our 12th step call. Then on the top of page 96, the authors tell us not to give up if we are unsuccessful at getting through to the prospect. Basically, they tell us to plant the seed and move on. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try it again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you have to offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy.
In the first paragraph on page 100, the Big Book authors tell us we grow spiritually when we sponsor someone else into the fellowship. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. So God is our new employer. In the second paragraph on page 102, the authors even give us a new job description. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed.
This completes the 12th step as described in our Big Book. Being of service to others is critical to the continued growth and the maintenance of our sobriety. Keep in mind that one of the primary services we can perform is to take prospective members through the 12 steps in these beginners' meetings. Each time we do this, we learn more about this life-saving program and gain additional insight into the divine inspiration that is the heart of our new way of life. Who knows? Maybe in a couple of months, some of you will be back to lead these sessions. As we have discovered, conducting these beginners' meetings is a real test of how well we know the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now all that's left is to practice these principles in all our affairs. What principles? The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They are the principles we practice daily for the rest of our lives. On page 164, the Big Book authors conclude with yet one more statement concerning the importance of divine guidance and the necessity of working with others. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
We are going to close this session by reading part of page 25 from the Big Book. We have waited until now to share this page with you because back when we started this journey, you may not have understood the significance of what is written here. Having completed the 12 steps and having had the spiritual awakening, you are now in a position to see these words from an entirely new perspective. Your lives have changed. You now realize there is a solution. Yay!
Perfect.
All the way to the end. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and minds, lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. We want to welcome each of you who has completed the 12 steps to the fourth dimension of existence. We thank you for providing us the opportunity to be your guides for this miraculous spiritual journey. As this cartoon from the grapevine shows, we have made the transition, and we've crossed the Rum River using the support of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we have entered the world of Sania. And I love the foundation, extra depth of vast experience rocks, the framework of divine steel of truest temper welded at each joint with faith, and the filling is a concrete composition of time-tested material, the strongest known to man, called fellowship. We welcome you to the fellowship of the Spirit. Are there any questions?